Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Okay, just a little kids, COVID, and socialism coming at you at your local school system here this fall. I'm laughing because it's better than screaming and throwing something through the window here, breaking something here in the studio. But it's good to be
coming
with you. And sorry
local...
about that. And it's good to be with you. And I wanted to kind of go down this with you. Sorry, I'm having a little technical thing there. I wanted to go down this road with you and continue what we were doing yesterday, because yesterday I was playing for you Dr. Scott Atlas from the Hoover Institution, who's one of the few people, thank goodness, he's starting to get more and more screen time, but one of the few people out there actually using facts to deal with this whole question about our kids going back to school. But when our kids go back to school in the fall, what's going to happen? Well, one of the things that's going to happen is Black Lives Matter is infiltrating public schools in terms of curriculum, which is going to turn kids into little Marxists. Isn't that great? So maybe we shouldn't be letting them go to school anyway. So I'm going to do that. The second half of the show, we're going to talk to Sloan Rackmuth, who's with Penn and Shield Media. And she had a story the other day in The Federalist that's kind of gone viral. And so we're going to talk to Sloan in the second half of the show. But I want to go right back to these clips I was playing yesterday for you. This is Dr. Atlas with Glenn Beck talking about some reality, some truth when it comes to our schools.
This is a slam dunk issue. There is zero science to back up people claiming the schools should be closed or even opened with any constraints whatsoever. And I can go through the data, but the fact is, the bottom line, for instance, JAMA Pediatrics, a very well-respected pediatric journal, published a study including 46 hospitals in North America, and they said the following quote: "Our data indicate that children are at far greater risk of critical illness from influenza than from COVID-19, unquote. Children are at extraordinarily low risk, near zero, of dying, despite a sensationalized headline of, yes, every child that dies, it's a tragic loss. I'm a parent. I understand that. But the point is that those exceptions don't disprove the overwhelming data. When we have in the numbers of roughly 30-some children who have died in the United States this year from COVID-19, do people forget that the last estimate from influenza deaths from children was about 600 in the season, even with the vaccines, even with anything we know about decades of influenza? And so the reality, we have to have some perspective here. If we're going to close schools for the risk to children, then we must close schools every year from November through April, because that's influenza season, which, by the way, kills 50 to 90,000 Americans per year. Now, the reality, though, is...
Okay, so I want to stop that right there, because were you catching that? So COVID for children, for school-age children, so we're talking about 18 and below, okay? That's pretty much high school all the way down. Elementary, middle school, high school, 18 and below. I'm not including kindergarten, okay? So COVID is less dangerous to them than influenza, the flu season. So he's saying if we're going to have all these precautions, shut things down or open them up with masks and social distancing and all that stuff, when it comes to the flu season, we should be shutting down schools nationwide because it's actually far more dangerous. Do you understand that? And the reason I'm sharing this with you and with myself is because whether you're in public school, private school, or homeschool, you need to understand truth. And where you're being commanded, forced to do things that are contrary to the truth. We say we want to follow science. We say we believe in the statistics, and then we don't act on them. We have to push back. Most of the time we're just, okay, what can I? I'm just one voice. We have to push back. So here's some numbers, okay? This is from the CDC. 30 children under 15 have died from COVID-19. 30 children all year here in the United States have died from COVID-19. All 30 is a tragedy, but 30. Okay, 30. 9 of them were under 1. 7 of them were between 1 to 4. So take them out of the school numbers. Okay, we're not talking. They're not even in elementary school yet. From 5 to 14, there were 14 of them. Now, 15 to 18 is where you then get the whole number up to 30, okay? But if you go from 15 to 18, that's pretty much high school. So now we're looking, do you know how many kids there are in elementary through high school in America? 56.6 million students, elementary through high school. Let's throw college in there. There's 20 million college students. So when we look at the 5 to 14 age group, 14 out of 56.6 million have died. If we look at the 15 to 18 age group, 52, an additional 52 out of that 56 million have died. And then if we look at college, which is ages 19 to 22, 60 out of 20 million have died. 60 out of 20 million in college, and 66 out of 56.6 million if we go all the way from 5 to age 18. But only 30 under the age of 15, nationwide for the entire COVID season that we've been in. And so why are we freaking out and shutting everything down? Because there's an agenda behind this. It's not about science. All these people that are driving this narrative to stay home and freak out and everybody's going to die, especially in the school situation, they're driving that narrative. It has nothing to do with science. There's COVID-19, as our friend Steve Dace likes to say. Then there's the COVID-19 agenda, okay? That's what we're listening to. So let's listen to a little bit more of a Dr. Atlas on Glenn Beck's show the other day.
There's more to it than that. It's the teachers who are saying don't open the schools because there is no science to say there's a risk to children. The teaching profession in the United States is a young profession. Of K through 12 teachers, half are under 41 years old. 82% are under 55. These people do not have a high risk. And the reality is, from data all over the world, on top of all that, that children only rarely, if ever, transmit the disease. And this is data from Switzerland, Canada, the Netherlands, France, Iceland, the UK, Australia, Ireland, all over the world. We don't reinvent the wheel and ignore all the facts here. For people that say it's all about the science, let's look at the science. The science says there is no significant risk to anyone in a school. In fact, it's one of the safest places there are. And so the reality is that people who are saying, oh, close the schools, they don't care about the children, period. Let's get...
And there are. The question is, and Peyton asked this question on Facebook Live, there's the question about, well, what about the teachers? Well, the science shows and the stats show, the reality shows that kids are not very effective at all of passing COVID onto the adults, not even in their own families. So teachers aren't at risk either. Now, there are high-risk people, stuff like that. We're going to switch to a Fox News interview where somebody pushed back on them, and Dr. Atlas had killer answers for all of it. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for? A message in the sky.
Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking some more about COVID and kids and socialism. Because when you send your kids back to school when they're wearing a mask all day and being compliant and keeping social distancing and all the other garbage, well, the other thing that you're going to get that we found out about, I actually saw some of this stuff about a month ago, was Black Lives Matter in those public schools. And they're working hard to turn all our little kids into little Marxists. Isn't that great? So that's from an article in Penn and Shield Media written by Sloan Rackmuth and Katie Jensen. Sloan is going to be on the show with me for the second half of the show to walk us through that. This is actual Black Lives Matter inspired things that are inside the school system. If you're here, like here, I'm in Wake County, North Carolina. I've got the website. I can look at it. I can look at it. I'm looking at it, Wake County Public School System, racial equity resources for Wake County Public School System educators and staffs. And you come down here just a little bit way down the page, and who do you see? Well, who's this nice-looking black woman with the Black Lives Matter T-shirt on? And the quote, "To feel is the most fundamental human desire, yet we are consistently punished for expressing our feelings and desires." Patrice Cullors, artist, activist, co-founder of Black Lives Matter. A distinctly godless, satanic, Marxist organization. And right now, inside, and this isn't just Wake County Public Schools, this is in New York, this is a bunch of other places, all right? So we're going to talk to Sloan in the second half of the show and learn some more about that because, you know, I just want you to be a little more upset than you already are. I want you to join me in my enraged misery. Okay, so I'm going to play this. And so then Dr. Atlas was on Fox News with Sandra Smith the other day, and she decides to push back on him. She's taking the whole kind of public narrative. Everybody's got to sacrifice. What about the kids? What about the teachers? All she's taking this. So she pushes back on Dr. Atlas, but she's not in his game. Okay. But it's great. I really appreciate that she did it, because it gave Dr. Atlas a chance to deal with a bunch of these questions that the society is dealing with and that the mainstream media is pushing. Okay. So this is from Fox the other day, Sandra Smith and Dr. Atlas from the Hoover Institute.
Kids need a hearing aid.
But Dr. Atlas, to be clear, while you are saying how important it is to get kids back into school and do so safely, you are encouraging that CDC guidance be followed, that there's mask wearing, social distancing, and all of the precautions that they're recommending?
See how she leaned into that? You are following CDC recommendations, aren't you? I mean, you are an American that cares about people, right? That's how she puts the question.
Not for children. That would be irrational. Children, it doesn't matter if children get the disease. They don't get sick from this. And the data shows that they do not significantly transmit to adults. And this is data.
But
this
isn't
is not
the
a
point to stop
discussion.
The spread? And I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut you off. But, I mean, the science shows that mask wearing stops the spread.
See, she's referencing science, but people aren't being honest about the science.
Disease, and don't we have a collective duty in this country to stop the spread?
There's no rational reason or science to say that children transmit the disease significantly. In fact, there's data to the contrary. You either believe in the science or you say you believe in the science and act contrary to science. The science says, and this is data from Iceland, Sweden, Switzerland, the Netherlands, France, the UK, Australia, Canada, Ireland, everywhere in Germany, everywhere in the Western world has shown that children do not transmit significantly to adults, even their own parents, and that teachers are not at higher risk of getting a disease like this disease from children. You either believe the science or not. You can't insist you believe in the science and then act contrary to science. And by the way, like I said, we are the only country not opening schools. This is absurd.
But remember, we're the only country with a presidential election this November and one guy in the race named Trump. Okay, and I'm not a MAGA hat wearing guy, right? I'm not a Trump apologist. There's a lot of things about the president I like and things that he's done that I like. There's several things about him that I dislike consistently. So I'm not like just throwing down all the time for Trump. You want to hear that? Go listen to Sean Hannity. But that's what's different. And this country's so out of control. And I'm so glad that Dr. Scott Atlas from the Hoover Institute is out there. So that's why I'm playing this for you, so you can hear truth and be armed with the truth, since we're supposed to be people of truth.
So what are you suggesting then? I mean, the president says that politics are at play for keeping kids
home. This was on Fox News the other day.
And other harsh restrictions that we're seeing across the country. Do you believe that?
I believe that there is zero reason, in fact, zero excuse to not have the schools open in person. The Hospital for Sick Kids in Toronto, one of the world's best hospitals, just delineated this. Schools must be in person, no masks, no spacing, because children are not at risk. If you believe that there should be some kind of restriction on schools,
okay,
you're not talking about children.
It's a fascinating conversation. I don't mean to cut you off, but there's so many things to,
really
to
upsetting
talk about
her.
There, because there are kids who fall into the high-risk category. There are kids with asthma. How do you protect them?
Well, of course, I'm not... Okay, there is a small minority of children that are at high risk, and those kids need to be protected. That's always true. Let me put it this way. Seasonal influenza is more risky for children, more than COVID-19. Seasonal influenza is transmitted from children to the high-risk adults who are teachers every year. Seasonal influenza in California, the percent of deaths in children was 5.4%. Zero kids have died from COVID-19. If teachers think that they can't work during this, then they absolutely must say that we have to close schools from November through April.
All right,
they
but
didn't
what
say
we
that.
Don't know is how this is going to...
See that? So if you're going to follow the numbers, you say you're going to claim science, and influenza is way more dangerous both ways, from kids to the parent, from kids to the teachers, and the danger to kids and the death of kids, right? Way more dangerous, influenza is, than COVID-19. So all the stuff we're doing for COVID, we should do it by a factor of about 5 for influenza. So basically, we shouldn't have school at all. Because the only way you're going to get everything to zero is just to sit at home. But even then, natural disasters will get you, right? But now we're in this totally wimped out society where nobody's willing to take a risk for anything. Okay? So we've gone from the greatest generation to the wimpiest generation. And this is a political weapon over and over and over again. And I hate to sound like a catastrophist or a conspiracy theory person, but this is a political weapon. Everything. Everything is politicized in the United States of America. Absolutely everything. And then the culture, because of the digital warfare we have, social media, some guy pulled a gun the other day. I just saw this story in a store somewhere over an argument over him not wearing a mask, and he went to his hip. Are you kidding me? And people just, and now all of a sudden, hey, you don't have to share the gospel. You don't have to talk to anybody about Christ. You don't have to do anything along those lines. Just wear a mask and you're a good Christian. Boy, that's nice. Gets us right off the hook, right? Hey, I did my Christian duty today. I wore my mask. I didn't wear a t-shirt that I'm a Christian. I didn't discern, or I didn't tell anybody that I was a Christian. I didn't share the gospel in any way, but I did wear a mask. So, you know, like St. Francis of Assisi used to say, at all times, share the gospel, and when absolutely necessary, use words. Well, I shared the gospel because I chose to wear a mask. How about that for cynical? Okay, setting that aside, when we come back, we'll move from COVID in the schools to Black Lives Matter Marxism in the schools with Sloan Rackmuth from Penn and Shield Media. She's going to be on the show with me when we come back. This is Steve Noble. This is the Steve Noble Show, trying to hold it all together and speak some truth. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show. So we don't want to send our kids, or we do want to send our kids back to school because of COVID-19. 30 children under the age of 15 have died nationwide. We were just figuring out over the break, if we look at the 86.6 million students, that's elementary, all the way through college, we've had 163 of them die during the whole COVID incidents, which means your percentage point, your chance of death as a student between elementary and college is 0.00000189. That's your percentage chance of death. And that's how our government and our local government and our state government are reacting. But if we send all our kids back to school, what else could be dangerous besides COVID, which isn't? But you want to know something that actually is? Black Lives Matter and their Marxist agenda. The other day, I saw an article several days ago in The Federalist. Black Lives Matter in public schools is turning kids into little Marxists. And it starts off with New York City, and I'm like, oh, well, of course. And then it says North Carolina's largest school system in Wake County, which is where I live here in Raleigh, North Carolina, launched a website that provides Black Lives Matter lessons for teachers to use in classrooms and for parents to use at home. And that kind of rang a bell. And then I went and looked at the Wake County public school system, and lo and behold, there it is. And I remembered seeing that. And then the training that's involved, this is all very Orwellian. It's very much driving the Marxist agenda to your kids in the public school system. Sloan Rackmuth joins us. Penn and Shield Media is her organization. Sloan, thanks so much for being with us today. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome. And this was, I'd like to say, and this is the first time you've been on the show, and you and I don't know each other, and I'd like to say all the time, hey, what a shock, but nothing really surprises me anymore at this rate. And so when you started to investigate, first of all, kind of what led to your investigation to find this Black Lives Matter curriculum inside the school system? How'd that get started?
Well, I'm an investigative journalist, so I really cover all things, that are a danger to our community. Obviously, our children. The number one, area of study for me, and in particular schools, I've covered issues like Muslim Brotherhood coming into our public schools through UNC and Duke through a foreign funding. And this is obviously kind of tied into that vein. So I've been doing this for about 4 years, and I live in Wake County myself. And so I'm a national journalist, but when I found this issue, I thought, well, if it's here, we know it's everywhere. I know the groups associated with Black Lives Matter very well. I've been doing a lot of reporting on these groups. They're well-funded. And as you pointed out, they are communists, actually, at their roots. So I knew we were in for trouble when I saw the website, and here we are talking about it today.
Yeah, and I mean, you go to the Wake County Public School System and you go right to the website, which in the article that was in the Federalist, and we're talking to Sloan Rackmuth from Penn and Shield Media. By the way, I just put the links up for Penn and Shield. She's doing great work there, and the website is pennandshieldproject.org. But when you pull it up and go right to the Wake County Public School System, you go just a little bit down the page, Sloan, and there staring you in the face is Patrice Cullors wearing her Black Lives Matter shirt. And this is somebody that is an avowed Marxist. And when you start to understand the Black Lives Matter organization, there's the notion, small case, Black Lives Matter, which everybody should agree with. Then there's the organization. Just how dangerous are they in terms of bringing this curriculum into the schools?
Well, they're extremely dangerous. They're as dangerous as any other organization that seeks to teach children to discriminate against others based on their skin color and based on their religion. I mean, we have, this is really ridiculing white or Christian or Jewish children in teaching other children to attack their fellow man based on skin color. So it is a program, if we look at just discrimination, this program teaches discrimination. Moreover, the first thing that it says, and I put this in my piece, is that white children must disavow them of themselves, of their original sin, of their skin color. And so if we take just that, that in and of itself is unlawful, taking us back to a time of segregation, a terrible time for this country, and it's immoral. I mean, public schools have a job to teach all American children that if they can work hard, they'll have a chance at the American dream. I mean, that's the goal. And so, at its root, this program in particular is not doing that. It's very troubling. And as far as, Marxism, and we know that the first job, of Marxist teachings is to go after religion. I mean, I'm Jewish, and this BLM curriculum is deeply, deeply anti-Semitic. Patrice Cullors herself is the poster girl for Jew hatred. And as far as, white students, I think that material speaks for itself. And Christians also. This isn't teaching that every child of God should be honored. It's teaching that only certain children should be honored. I mean, this is not a movement for equality.
That's right.
Which is admirable. This is a discriminatory movement.
Oh, absolutely. You've got in the article from the Federalist, the site lays out a cult-like recruiting process for students to follow. Step one, recognize your white privilege. Step two, learn the do's and don'ts of being an ally. Step three, recruit more members to learn steps one and two. Step three, the recruitment process posits racial equity accountability must be tied to specific outcomes. Now, that's where it gets really scary, and that's where you're right into Marxism and communism, where they're trying to have equality of outcome as opposed to equality of opportunity. And that's just breeding more and more of this type of thinking, which we already see in the millennial and Gen Z levels. It's growing all the time. But you mentioned something. I want to go back to this, Sloan. You mentioned anti-Semitism inside Black Lives Matter. And I think a lot of people aren't aware of that. You have to look at the people that started it, and you have to look at the things that they've said and done. But that's something that I think is largely flying under the radar screen right now. So you mentioned it a little bit, but I want to make sure we unpack that a bit.
Well, the thesis is replacement theology. That this movement is founded on. And I think a good example of that would be, let's see, Louis Farrakhan and Reverend Jeremiah Wright from former President Obama's church. But,
yep.
I mean, they had an animus towards America, that much is clear, but they had a very deep animus towards Jews. I mean, the thinking is that we are evil and everything that goes wrong in the country can be attributed to us. That's their political point of view. Their religious point of view happens to be what's called supersessionism. And replacing Jews as God's chosen people, if you will, with African Americans specifically. And so it's a real, it's got political roots, obviously, but it's got religious roots, which makes it very dangerous ideology. And that is with virtually every single leader in Black Lives Matter you will see is a close ally of Louis Farrakhan.
Yeah. Yeah, and when you get in, I'm looking at the BlackLivesMatter.com about page, and when you dive in there, I think the number one thing that comes across on this page, Sloan, is that it would appear that their number one issue is homosexuality and transgenderism, and that's because that shows up in one paragraph after another. But they're all for getting rid of the regular nuclear family. They're all for dealing with abortion. They're very pro-abortion. We foster a queer-affirming network, intergenerational communal network free from ageism. There's all kinds of language in here. Now, a lot of people are going to wonder, Sloan, how does this translate into what's actually happening, like with the Wake County, in this case, Wake County, both your backyard and my backyard, the actual curriculum and the things that they're teaching in there? Because I'm looking at their webpage, and when you first look at it, if you're ignorant, you just look at it and you go, oh, okay, well, how to root out anti-Black racism from your school. That sounds noble. That sounds like something we should do. So have you found enough yet inside of there to kind of see where have they injected the really dangerous aspects of this into the actual curriculum that's available on our local school board's website?
Well, you're correct in pointing out that there's an enormous umbrella, right, that everything's marshaled in. Here's the dangerous part. If you being the parent, you being a teacher, you being an administrator, if you don't allow everything in that umbrella to be taught, then you're a racist. And so, as you just mentioned, there's things that are completely off tangent here toward equality. Again, this is about superiority of a specific race, a specific, gender also, and a specific sexual preference. And so there's been a co-opting of the movement, different funders come in, et cetera, to include those aspects. But really what we're talking about here is getting all of this in an Trojan horse under equality. And if you object, you will be a racist.
Right.
And
you're a racist by definition. Sloan, I'm going to put you on hold. We're coming up on a commercial break. Talking to Sloan Rackmuth from, it's a great article in the Federalist the other day, Pen and Shield Media. You can check that out at penandshieldproject.org. When we come back, some more about this Black Lives Matter curriculum, Black Lives Matter in general, and we'll unpack some more about this Trojan horse, because that's what the whole movement really has become. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble on the Steve Noble Show. We've turned the corner from what's going on in schools with COVID, where it's not much of a threat at all, statistically basically zero, to talking about the infiltration of our public school system by Black Lives Matter and their Marxist agenda. This is based on an article that came out the other day in the Federalist. Black Lives Matter in Public Schools is Turning Kids into Little Marxists by Sloan Rackmuth and Katie Jensen from Penn and Shield Media. We've got Sloan on hold. Sloan, I'm going to get right to you in just a second. I pulled up, so this is through the Wake County, this is one of the largest school systems in the country, and it's right here in Raleigh, North Carolina, where I live. So somebody on Facebook Live asked, yeah, well, what's in the actual curriculum? Okay, where is it actually dangerous? Because they've got the Black Lives Matter, one of the co-founders in here. She's an anti-Semite Marxist. Okay, that's a fact. That's not me as some conservative white guy just speaking hatred. All right, she is a self-avowed Marxist, trained in it. And then also by her own comments, who she associates with, what they've said in the past, totally anti-Semitic as well. So I followed from the Wake County Public School System during the break. I followed one of their curriculum guides here, which took me over to educationalweek.org to an article called How to Root Out Anti-Black Racism from Your School. Now let's go down to point number three. I did a whole show on this a couple weeks ago. Stop challenging Black Lives Matter, all in bold. Point number three, efforts to minimize, dismiss, or ignore the pain and suffering of Black people is one of the central tenets of anti-Blackness. To that end, challenging Black Lives Matter or stating all lives matter is an attempt to minimize, ignore, or dismiss the types of structural inequality, political disenfranchisement, police violence, and educational and economic marginalization of Black people. efforts to conflate black people's experiences with other people's struggles while appearing benevolent robs black people of an unapologetic and intentional spotlight and the crucial analysis of their experiences. What I said on a full show 2 weeks ago was I'm not going to run around and say Black Lives Matter because that phrase in and of itself is an enormous sale. Okay, and all of the money and all of the hot air blowing into that, one of the ships that that sale is connected to is the Black Lives Matter organization. And when you start following the money, we're talking about tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of dollars are flowing to Black Lives Matter. So whenever you say Black Lives Matter as part of this public discourse right now, you're blowing air into that sale. And one of the ships that you're helping without really knowing you're helping it is the actual Black Lives Matter organization, which wants to destroy the country, the family, the church, the synagogue. That's all a part of it. And you cannot dismiss one from the other, which is why this article that Sloan Rackmuth and Katie Jensen from Penn and Shield Media is so important, so that we're all dealing with the realities of what's going on out there. So Sloan, I mean, thanks again for being with us today and for writing this great article and the work that you're doing at Penn and Shield Media. And just, you have to dig a little bit. I think that's one of our problems today is most of us just kind of look at a headline. We look at a thing and we go, okay, I agree. I don't agree. I share if I like it. But most people aren't looking. So when you go to the Wake County School System's website, you said this earlier, these are kind of noble things that they're trying to do here. There's good conversation starters. But when you dig into it, I found the thing like I just found that I just read a minute ago. It gets dangerous fast.
Yes, exactly. Well, the recruiting process itself, if we just stopped right there, is deeply problematic. So again, the recruiting process itself is a no way out situation for anyone with a certain skin color. You must repent for your skin color and you must recruit others to do that. So that is dead on arrival right there. That it, without even looking into the curriculum.
Yeah.
Separately, when you're looking at pictures of anti-American, anti-Semite, full-fledged Marxist, that is also a problem without even digging in to the materiel. And here's why. If we were to put the non-esteem, the disgraced David Duke on the cover of any material going to parents, administrators, teachers, and children, that would rightfully be excoriated. I mean, whoever did that would be fired and totally run out of town, justifiably. And yet we have the mirror image of that, and that is acceptable. And this is really what we're talking about here. We're talking about someone who has a deep, open hatred for people based on their skin color and their religion. That should never be allowed, I think we can all agree, in any setting where children are getting their education. And so that's why we feature these two things, because it really anything that flows from there can't be good. And as you pointed out, you did some digging on your own and you found out, in fact, that is true.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that the whole Trojan horse notion about this, and people need to remember this, that's why you can't – everybody needs to be a whole lot more skeptical than they are right now. When you look at this and go, especially in the context of what the country is going through right now with respect to Black Lives Matter and that movement and the greater movement, the part of the conversation that's valid, the part of the conversation that isn't, whenever you see this, especially showing up in the Wake County public school system or any school system around the country up in New York, and if you think it's only these two places, you're crazy. It's going to be all over the place because our school system, largely nationwide, is extremely liberal. But the fact that Patrice Cullors' picture is on here just baptizes it. All of a sudden, it's the Wake County Public School System, an enormous school system with 150-plus schools. All the kids, parents on here going, oh, well, we love our schools. We appreciate the school system. They put a picture of Patrice Cullors up here. Gosh, she must be a good person. And all the kids see this and go, well, yeah, obviously. Why would they put a picture? It's not like they put a picture up of Adolf Hitler, but they kind of did because you have to understand who you're looking at here. But people, I think, are just massively ignorant.
Well, yes, and the notion that you would put someone up that would offend, I mean, in North Carolina, we have 2% of all the citizens who are Jewish. To put up someone who is so repugnant to Jewish students and to Jewish parents, you know, that went without even consideration.
Yeah.
And that's very upsetting. It really makes Jews in Wake County or anywhere in New York, anywhere they are, feel very trapped, because if they say something, again, they're racist. And it will also go to prove that, see, Jews are unworthy, et cetera. And so that's really, you know, another thing, that is a minority taking on another minority with such a large audience. That's what this curriculum seeks to do.
What have you had a chance to kind of reach out to anybody at the Wake County Public School System, any engagement there? That's number one. Number two, what would you suggest, just from your research and your investigative journalism, Sloan, that parents listening to us right now, whether they're here in Raleigh or somewhere else in North Carolina or in another state, what would you suggest they do to start to arm themselves with the truth here of what's going on?
Well, that's the important thing. I got my start as a journalist and as an activist and someone very aware a few years ago, when I was sued, actually, by a private school, a private Jewish school, because they tried to bring in this same type of curriculum, and it was anti-Semitic, in a Jewish private school.
Jeez.
The problem there, liberalism. And so we all kind of see a common thread here. And here's what I recommend parents do. Number one, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself to be called racist, discriminatory. Get prepared. It's sort of like being in a fight. You have to get punched once, boxers always say, and then you're good to go.
Yeah.
So first of all, prepare yourself for that. Also, organize. Immediately organize. Immediately. So you need 10 or 15 other like-minded parents that are willing to stand up when the time is needed. Each and every school, you're going to have that. And do understand that the other side believes that we're at war, and they are ready for it. So understand that you need to have that mindset as a parent. So I would say, prepare yourself for attack. Get organized now. And really see things very, very clearly. This needs to be a matter of fact. I think every parent needs to say this. We will not allow discrimination to be taught in our schools, period. And if they want to argue or say that it isn't so, that is not true. We need to win on this very one thing, discrimination. We will not teach it. If you go into that material, you will find discrimination point after discrimination point. Look, equality, fighting for equality is important, really, really important. Fighting for superiority and the degradation of others is wrong.
Yeah.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, and that's such an important point, that the other side is certainly at war. This is an existential threat to the United States of America, to the future of our children. And as parents, if we sit on the sideline, if we don't engage, it reminds me of the watchman on the wall from the Old Testament, who, if he doesn't say anything, the blood of the people is on him. And even if, and for years, I've been an activist, started back in 2004, Sloan, and we homeschooled all of our kids. And the news cycle, because we used to go after the Wake County Public School System, would ask me, well, Mr. Noble, you know, aren't your kids homeschooled? So what are you doing talking about the Boyd County Public School System? Your kids aren't even in it. And I would say, well, do you want my constitutional answer or my Christian answer? Here's my Christian answer. My biblical answer is to love my neighbor as myself. So whether my kids are in there or not really is irrelevant. I need to act like all those kids that are in there are my kids. And then my constitutional mandate is they're spending my tax dollars, so I have a right to say about what the government's doing with my tax dollars here locally. And so you have to engage, but I'm so glad you said that. The other side is at war. And if we don't understand we're at war, in this case, a culture war, an existential threat to our way of life here in America, and defending religious liberty, whether you're Jewish or Christian or Muslim or whatever, if you don't understand you're at war, you're destined to lose, and we need to wake up and get involved. Sloan, it's so great to have you on. I'm so glad I got to read your article and share it, and I hope we can have you on again. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless you. We'll talk to you later. That was Sloan Rachmuth from Pen and Shield, penandshieldproject.org. So grateful for the work that she is doing there, investigative journalism. That's the Wake County Public School System. It's here. You can get to it through the website. The question is, what are you going to do about it? You should get on the phone, start calling, start emailing the Wake County Public School System, but go in and look at it for yourself. I put the links up on Facebook Live so you can check that out. We are at war. Unfortunately, that's just a reality. This is Steve Noble, The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always used to say, ever forward.